our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. A few announcements before we get started. First of all, deacons, no meeting this month. We have off. Elders will be meeting a week from Monday at their regular time and place. You should all have gotten an email about the fall days of services, November 7th and 14th. If you didn't, you can see me or give Dana a call, and we'll get you signed up for that. And if the 7th through, you can call someone who you would like to help that's on that list and set up a time with them to go help as needed. Wednesday evening Bible study started a new study this week of the book of Hebrews. We only made it through the first three verses, so if you didn't make it there and you want to join us, you're not too far behind. Ladies Thursday morning study is also going, so you're welcome to join them for their study on seeing Jesus in the prophets. And then Susie. The rest of the announcements you can find in your bulletin. We're here to come before the presence of our holy God. Let's prepare our hearts for doing just that.
We delight in the law of your word. We delight in the Son who was perfect from birth. We delight in the day he's returning to earth. Hallelujah. We delight in the law of your word. We delight in the Son who was perfect from birth. We delight in the day he's returning to earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways. Please stand and sing.
The grace of God has reached for me.
When winter fades, and spring will come.
be to God the Father. Glory be to God the Son. Glory be to God the Spirit. The Lord is our salvation. The Lord is our salvation. Occupy my lowly heart. Own it all and reign supreme. Conquer every rebel power. Let no vice or sin remain that resists your holy war. You have loved and purchased me. Forevermore. I was blinded by my sin, had no ears to hear your voice, did not know your love within, had no taste for heaven's joys. Then your Spirit gave
confession of sin this morning comes from Isaiah, the first part of Isaiah 55, which we'll be looking at the second part later. And it's really about recognizing the problem of idolatry. Idolatry is taking some person or some thing and trying to put it in God's place, a place that only He is worthy of, a place that only He can fulfill. God loves us enough to confront our idolatry and the foolishness of it. Not just to point it out, but to call us back from it. To call us back to His blessings and His fullness. To be covered with His compassion and His mercy. To be filled up with His goodness. Let us read responsively this call to confess our sins, and then each of us individually do that on our own. Come, everyone who thirsts. come to the waters. And he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price.
Why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food.
Incline your ear, come to me, hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples.
Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you.
Heavenly Father, how thankful we are that you called us who were not your people to be your people, and that you invite us into your abundant riches, not because of anything we can offer, but because of your goodness. Oh Lord, how thankful we are that with you there is mercy and compassion and an everlasting covenant. Help us to rest in these things. Help us to return to you and to live in your fullness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. People, your God is faithful and just, forgives you all of your sins, and cleanses you for himself. Amen?
Amen.
2 Timothy 3 shows us the new way of life that we're set free for. Let us, again, read responsibly. All who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus.
All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work.
May the Lord bless this reading of his holy and precious word to our hearts and minds. Let's continue coming before him in prayer. Heavenly Father, how thankful we are for your abundant goodness, for your feeding us and for giving us drink and for giving us out of your abundance. Indeed, Lord, even as we live in a world of those who would oppose us and try to distract us or destroy us, you yet provide. You have given us your precious word by which we are given life, salvation from our sins, salvation for you, to be your people, to have your name put upon us, and to receive out of your great blessings. How thankful we are, Lord, for that word as it teaches and rebukes and corrects and trains us, that we might be equipped for every good work and be your blessing to all those that you bring into our lives. Lord, would you strengthen our faith? Would you help us to keep our eyes on Jesus and to receive out of his fullness, that we might live in that freedom, that we might find great joy in serving and blessing, even as he has served and blessed us. Oh Lord, help us to see all that we have, all that we are, all that we will receive, and help us to give ourselves to you and in the way that you have prescribed to all others. Lord, would you bless and strengthen those who are in great need? We pray for Ann St. Clair as she has surgery on Wednesday. Would you bless that surgery? Would you bring healing? Would you give much grace to John as he cares for her? And would you just provide strength and healing for all of that? We continue to ask for your mercy for Barbara Peters' sister and her great need, body and soul, of healing. We praise you, Lord, for the amazing healing of Jill's niece and continue to ask for your blessings to abound there and your grace to abound to that family. We lift up the Abels and ask for your favor as their home is put back together after that water main break. Would you just provide, would you bless them in their new habitation as they wait that work, and would you do that quickly and well? We continue to ask for your grace to abound to Richard and Anne and their ongoing health struggles that he has. For EA and for her healing, Lord, we thank you for a clearer diagnosis, and would you just provide what's needed for that? Lord, we thank you for the great privilege we have of joining with Willing Helpers Food Bank and Medical Clinic. Would you continue to meet the needs of great many through them? Would you help us, Lord, to feed and to care for those who are sick and needy? And would you, Lord, give them not just physical, but emotional and spiritual healing? We pray, Lord, for your continued provision through the pregnancy center and your blessing there. We pray, Lord, for your grace to abound to the many other needs we have among us as a congregation. Would you be our very present help? Would you be our joy and our peace? And would you strengthen us in your hope? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's continue to worship now with some special music. Scripture reading this morning is Genesis 1, where again God says, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens, over the livestock and over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So For God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. We're particularly going to look at that idea of what it means to be made in God's image and as it relates to our knowledge. And so our second passage this morning is from Isaiah chapter 55. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him, to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and snow come down from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty. It shall accomplish that for which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall be a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign, not to be cut off. Let's begin with a word of prayer. O Lord, even now, open our understanding, fill us with your Spirit, illuminate and apply this word, that we might know you and reflect that knowledge in who we are and all that we do. Bless us. In Jesus' name, amen. In Jeremiah 2, the Lord brings a charge against his people, and it's a charge really that applies to all people through all time. God says, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that hold no water. That's a powerful image, isn't it? Here, God gives them clear, running, perfect water, and they forsake it, instead digging a hole for themselves and filling it up but with a broken cistern that holds no water. And therefore, they are left thirsty, desperate, in great need. The picture here is not just of a spiritual state, but of our intellectual state as well. Our minds, our knowledge, our understanding are going further and further away as we turn from following the Lord and do what seems right in our own eyes. As such, we're in desperate need. But instead of returning to the Lord who provides that living water, we instead pursue mirages. I'm showing my age a little bit, but there was a number of movies made way back by Bob Hope and Bing Crosby called the Road Movies. In that, they would go to various places, and one of them was a desert. And in this movie, they were walking and walking through this desert, endless miles of sand. Until finally, I think it was Bob Hope, saw an oasis with this incredible pond. And he goes running and he dives in and he's swimming and swimming, only to realize he's still in the sand. There was nothing real in that mirage. In fact, he was in worse shape because he had tried drinking the sand. That's a great picture of those who have turned away from the Lord for knowledge to their own pursuits. We live in a world of mirages, of the promise of good health or good life or long life, of good relationships and wealth and peace, in fact, of utopia. But none of them deliver. They're just mirages. The age of enlightenment and reason has lost its glow, and we now live in a postmodern age where everybody gets to decide for themselves what's true. Problem is, that doesn't work so much, especially with things like gravity or giving away all your money and expecting to have plenty for yourself or robbing banks or whatever else your mind might convince you to do. God is still God and truth is still truth, and we do not get to decide. And all of that, those pursuit of mirages, has simply led to cynicism and sarcasm, the two main staples of the modern American mind. Intellectually speaking, many people are like Marie Antoinette, who simply complain, nothing tastes, nothing satisfies. The Charter Catechism reminds us that God made us male and female in His own image, in knowledge and righteousness and holiness. We're going to unpack those, and today we're focusing on that first one, knowledge. In fact, we're going to break knowledge into two parts, those things we know, and then the ability to create or be creative. Creation is the work of a mighty mind. The planning, the forming, the executing, the evaluating. In fact, thousands of years have been spent trying to understand the perfections of God's creation, of God's mind in creation, of that universe and its unified whole, and how each part, each star is put in place, of gravity or the pH balance or the ratio of gases in the air, any one of which, if they were off by even a fraction, would mean there is no life here. The human body itself, the amazing thing of a hand, or of eyes that see, or a mind that can create and understand and use, and so much more. In a universe that's incredibly, perfectly ordered, incredibly diverse, yet working in total harmony. All of that shows us the greatness of God's knowledge, God's wisdom, God's understanding, even as it shows us His glory. It will take infinitely more faith to believe that all of this is by chance than the work of a all-wise God. Now, when we speak about the knowledge of God, it's not just creation, but we have to include His providence, His holy, wise, and powerful, preserving and governing, sustaining of every part of life all the time. God not only creates, but intimately oversees every part of life. And while doing all that, He knows the number of the hairs on your head and cares and provides for you according to His eternal plan, so that we do not have to worry. On top of that, He gives us His Word, a Word that was gathered together and given over 1,500 years, and yet is perfectly unified and leads us to Jesus, who is our life, who brings us back from rebellion and back from brokenness and misery into His abundant goodness. Theologians, when they talk about God's knowledge and wisdom, really use the term omniscience, that God's knowledge is unlimited, comprehensive, and perfect in every way. Scripture itself makes clear God knows not just what is present, Psalm 33, or past, Job 38, but also that which is to come, Psalm 139 and Isaiah 46, Matthew 26. Moreover, God knows His creatures to a level of intimacies that we don't even know ourselves. And then God knows Himself in the unique and befitting fashion in His Trinity. Jesus Himself said, no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, Matthew 11:27. Part of God's omniscience is that He's infinite, filling all space, that He's eternal, that He does that all the time, that He sees and knows all things. If you try to grasp that, you get a really bad headache. That's part of what God's sovereignty is about. We live in a day and age that's trying to push back and argue that God is not omniscient. I think they do that because they're terrified of the fact that if God is omniscient, then they are known. And if God is omniscient, they fall short because they haven't been listening to Him. We too should be concerned about that. Am I listening? Am I obeying the all-wise God? Because we're made in His image. We're made to be known and to know. Knowledge is a rich term that includes a true apprehension of God as God and ourselves as creature in communion with Him. That makes all knowledge moral as well as intellectual. You are fearfully and wonderfully made in God's image with minds that can know Him, glorify Him, and bless one another. Now, we need to keep in mind, He's the Creator, we're but creatures, and there's a vast gulf. And while God knows all things, we do not. And neither did Adam and Eve when they were created. They were created with the ability to learn, with God Himself as the teacher, the encourager, patiently helping them to understand the whole universe and how they could use it to glorify and enjoy Him and bless one another. He filled the world with everything they needed to do just that. Even as He filled them with a joy in learning and discovering, a sense of wonder. You know, one of the greatest things as a parent was to see the world again through the eyes of a child, whatever age they are, whatever they were discovering. Adam and Eve had that without frustration. Remember, before sin entered the world, there was no frustration in learning. I can remember those days of homeschooling where I just don't get it. It wasn't clear to me whether it was the teacher or the student who was the problem. Scripture would say it was both, but I prefer to blame the student. Adam and Eve didn't have that problem. God Himself taught and modeled and helped, gave them all that they needed. Remember, they're put in a garden and given the task of making the whole world, the rest of the world, a garden. Not a garden just like that, but a garden that would adapt and fit in different elevations and different climates and all kinds of different places. And for that, they needed children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, each bringing a different gift. Remember, no human being fully mirrors God. We each have our own different place that we fit in. And it's only as we work together. And in a world before sin, they would have worked in perfect harmony. God gave them minds that would learn to adapt to those climates and changes. God gave them the ability to create tools, to create the ability to travel, to communicate, to share, and to celebrate, so that they might all give thanks to God. Because at the heart of that was the God who gave them that knowledge. All of that and so much more we don't yet understand was lost. Because in the midst of all that goodness, Adam and Eve decided to disregard God's word, to turn away from the knowledge He had given them. And they ate from that one tree God said not to. Again, they had hundreds, if not thousands, of other choices, but that one tree God said do not eat, and yet they ate. And instead of giving them perfect knowledge, it instead gave them twisted knowledge. True knowledge was always directed towards glorifying God and blessing others, but now their minds are directed toward trying to seek glory for self and of taking from others. When they ate of that tree, and we all along with them rebelled, it's not that humanity can't know anything, but all that we know is now misdirected. The Genesis 11 and the Tower of Babel is a great illustration of this. Here they are, one people, one language. God had said to spread throughout the whole earth, but instead they come and gather together in one place, and they're going to build a city, and in the center of that city is going to be a ziggurat that reaches to heaven, to God Himself. In Genesis 11:6, God Himself comments, "Behold, they are one people. They have one language. This is only the beginning of what they do." And hear this. Nothing they propose to do will now be impossible for them. That's what it means to be made in God's image. Nothing they propose to do will be impossible because we are made in God's image with might. And even sin, though it twists that knowledge, doesn't keep us from accomplishing incredible things. God said, "Fill the earth," but now they want to gather all together in one place. God made them of dust that they might be humble. They want to try to reach up to Him. Scripture pokes fun at that when it specifically says, and God came down to see what it is they were doing. Because no matter how high they reached, they weren't going to reach God. And God, in His wisdom and His mercy, because of their sinfulness, separates them. He gives them different languages and disperses them to different places. Again, that now knowledge is twisted into what we now know as racism and nationalism or sexism or every other thing that separates us. Instead of knowing that we're all made in God's image, We see differences, neither flee from them or try to crush them. Church does it with denominations, separating over things that are not biblically important. Our catechism makes clear there is no perfect church until Jesus comes and redeems and restores all of us. And it's here that we need to remember God gives us some other information that's important as well. That is that we have an enemy who loves to attack our understanding and to encourage our rebellion. That enemy is known as the liar or the deceiver. In fact, John 8 calls him the father of lies, who's constantly undermining the truth. Scripture also calls him the devil. That word literally means to throw through, or the idea of taking gears and putting a monkey wrench in it so they will not work. That is what Satan is trying to do, to hinder God's work by distracting or dividing or destroying. He's also the accuser, not just in a general sense, but coming to each and every one of us and accusing, well, you messed up that. There's no way God can forgive you for that. There's no way you can measure up. Those are all lies. And yet, because he does them so well, we listen and are often paralyzed with hopelessness. The liar, deceiver, the devil, the accuser. As one author put it, the serpent in the garden has devoured so many that by revelation he has grown into a dragon. One consequence of Satan's work and our abandoning the knowledge of God is the loss of discernment. For people are blown from one new idea to the next, even though there are no new ideas. True discernment distinguishes right from wrong, but also primary from secondary and essential from indifferent, and the better and from the best. We have lost that discernment. We live in a society that has no discernment, simply shouting lies louder and louder and hope that people will follow. The psalmist responds to all that, "Teach me, Lord, good judgment and knowledge." Indeed, Isaiah 55 is God's invitation to a people who have abandoned his knowledge, who've been broken and who have been humbled, a sinful people who have rebelled against him, who have not listened and have not obeyed. And yet here he is calling us back to return to him, to repent of our going the wrong way and come back to him, to acknowledge our rebellion. God sets before us here in Isaiah 55 his compassion and his pardon, which the liar keeps lying about. And yet God makes clear it is who he is. And not only that, he restores right relationships. And he does that by teaching us to think his thoughts after him once again. Thoughts that are so much higher and so much better than our ways. Thoughts that bring blessing. Eternal blessing. So that we're once again set free to glorify and enjoy him. And it's there that God shows us the only way back is by growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:18. Jesus, who is the revelation of God from the book of Genesis through to Revelation. Jesus, who gives us the Holy Spirit, who will teach us all things and bring to remembrance all that he has said. God's good purpose, his constant call in his word, is to set your minds on him, to listen to him. Jesus himself said, "If you abide in my word, you truly are my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." The Apostle Paul reiterates, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. By testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." To the Colossians, Paul wrote, "Put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator." Again and again in a number of other places, Scripture sets forth, renew your mind by the Lord's power, according to his goodness. Here's a hard truth. You cannot drift into godliness. It doesn't just happen. Maybe you believe in a school of osmosis. Many of you may have tried this in school. You put a book under your pillow, you go to bed at night, and when you wake up, you know everything in it. It doesn't work. You cannot drift into godliness. But you easily drift into godlessness when you do nothing. Psalm 119 is an antidote. 176 verses long, contemplating the goodness of God's ways, of God's knowledge. And constantly responding to that by saying, Lord, help, teach me, show me, empower me to listen and to obey. Our calling, made in God's image, with minds renewed by Jesus and the Spirit, is to lay up God's words in our hearts that we might not sin against Him. Psalm 119:11. To meditate on His Word day and night without ceasing, so we may prosper and be faithful. Psalm 1 and Joshua 1. To ask the Spirit's help so that the Word is teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training us, that we might be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The good work of glorifying and enjoying God and blessing one another. And as Jesus, by the Spirit and the Word, renews our mind, and each according to God's gifts, we are set free to use those minds to glorify Him and bless others, each in our own unique way, as artists or as politicians, as inventors or builders, or homemakers or educators, or thousands of other ways. The best question you can ask is, who has God made me to be? Parents, the best question you can ask of your children is not, what do you want to do when you grow up, but what has God made you for? And help them to see that. And ask for the Lord's help to ask them to see that. As parents and grandparents, as Sunday school teachers and Bible study, that's our task, to fill those minds with God's truth, that they might be set free and they might grow in His grace and might be equipped for every good work. By who we are and how we live, we show forth God's wisdom. But only as we laid up that Word in our heart and are living according to it. You are the testimony of the power of God's Word and God's truth. And not only do we do that by how we live, but then we proclaim it. Our God reigns, and He is good and wise, and He loves to bless, and He loves to forgive. And He calls us to forsake our foolishness and our misery and return to Him and receive His abundant goodness. And as He does so, He returns to us discernment. As Christians listen to the Lord and go His way, the world will not like us, but they will desperately need us, because we alone have the words of life and the power to walk in them. But only as we keep our eyes on Jesus, only as in Christ we know the goodness of God's mercy and grace and freedom. Freedom to turn from our foolishness and return to Him. And as we do so, He gives us all that we need, both the understanding and the power. He spurs us on to love and good deeds for His glory. You have been given a good and precious gift, made in His image, able to think His thoughts after Him. Dare to ask Him for ears to hear and eyes to see and hearts to follow. Amen? Let's pray. Oh Lord, even now we ask, fill us with Your Spirit, give to us that finished work of Jesus, so we might be those who listen well and who follow, who have eyes to see and ears to hear, who delight in Your truth, who have Your discernment and Your wisdom, and who are Your blessing. Lord, would You indeed have mercy in our nation by raising up Your church to be wise, empowered by Your truth to be Your blessing for Your glory. It's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Hymn 34, the God of Abraham praise, helps us to celebrate and enjoy the good gift of the Lord. Let's stand together and sing. For that, he not only gives us his word, but this meal. By this meal, we know that his body gives us life. His blood shed for us. By this meal, we learn that we are welcome in his presence. Here set before us is the love of God, and the mercy of God, and the wisdom of God. There was no other way by which we could be saved than by the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. There are a lot of foolish religions in this world. And they're foolish because they all demand faith from Christ. Only God in Christ gives us faith. And here it is. His body given for me to be saved. As you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim Jesus as the Lord. As you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show forth that you're welcome as God and His God. If you yet think there's some other way, I would warn you not to partake of the food. To do so is to ask for His judgment right now. Even right now, here's His judgment. That's His judgment.
Let's pray. Oh Lord, help our unbelief. Help us to grasp more fully your compassion, your grace, your steadfast love in Jesus giving his body and his blood for us. Fill us with your Spirit that we might receive these good gifts by faith, that faith might be nourished and strengthened, that indeed as we partake, we might grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The praise of your glory and grace. Help us to receive all that you have for us here, even now, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The night in which he was betrayed, our Lord took the bread and took the cup and gave it to his disciples, as I, ministering in his name, give to you. Remind you once again, there are two cups stacked together with the bread in the bottom and the wine in the outer ring, grape juice in the inner rings, and gluten-free crackers in the very center. Take and eat. This is his body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of him. This cup is the new covenant in his blood, shed for the forgiveness of our sins. Drink from it, all of you. pray. Lord, we give thanks for these, your good and precious gifts. As we have received, as we have been blessed, help us to follow after you and show forth your glory and be your blessing. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Let's conclude our worship with the fifth verse of 115, All Creatures of Our God and King. Let's stand as we sing. Beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory now and to the day of eternity. Amen.